Really? My first parish, second parish, I'm sorry, was largely African American. And here, one of Hattie's daughters had done well, kept the faith. It's always good to hear. And I was reminded back when I talked to Hattie in her home, and I made many pastoral visits there. One time she and her sister were telling me how they ended up Lutherans. How did you end up in the Lutheran church? And she said, well, my family were all holiness Methodists kind of things. And in fact, we remember one occasion where we were locked up in the church all weekend long with an anxious bench in the middle. And we couldn't get out of there until we got the Holy Ghost. I said, what'd you do? Oh, we got the Holy Ghost right quick. And then I said, well, how'd you end up Lutheran? She said, my other grandma would play Lutheran hour in the afternoon on Sundays. Pastor, we didn't know what was going on with all the screaming and yelling in the church we grew up in. We heard the gospel in the Lutheran church. You know what? There's an anxious bench fanatic in every one of you. Right in here, too. Looking somewhere other than what God has given to us for a surety of salvation. That's why the baptism of Christ is fantastic. The baptism of Christ has in Mark these interesting, kind of urgent and even violent overtones. It's right here, this great word, oikos. And immediately, which occurs repeatedly in Mark's gospel, in fact, more in Mark's gospel than any other book of the New Testament. And immediately he came up out of the water and saw heaven being torn open. And that word occurs in Mark then later. And immediately the disciples left their nets. And immediately he called them. And immediately Jesus stands up in a synagogue. And immediately after Peter's mother-in-law was healed, she got up and served, and it goes on and on. There's an urgency to it, and even more than that, even more than immediacy, there's a violence to Mark's account of Jesus' baptism. You see, the text says, and immediately he came out of the water, and schizomenus, the heavens were torn open, ripped open. Same word used in Matthew, when Jesus gave up the spirit and the curtain in the temple was torn apart. Something going on here. And immediately while coming out of the water, heaven was torn open. Yet smack in the midst of this kind of urgent violence come all kind of comforting blessings. It's precisely in this baptism that heaven is torn open. Luther says, heaven now is nothing but doors and windows. It's open. This baptism is a proleptic tear in the universe, a proleptic tear in the curtain, looking for more. And at this violent and pivotal moment of salvation history, the Spirit descends in the form of a dove. Every time in the Bible heaven is open or somebody speaks from heaven, there's fear all around. Not this time. There's a wonderful voice that says, my beloved, I'm well pleased in him. You are the son, it says, mine beloved. And there's comfort. Comfort here. It's Jesus. Luther says here, Christ sticks himself into the water so that when you and I go into the water, we pull Christ out with us. And so it is Paul's teaching and the teaching of the New Testament that in baptism we put on Christ. We're buried by death into his, buried by baptism into his death. We put on Christ, Galatians 3. And we have now a baptismal life. We've got all the goods. It's proleptic. We've got all the goods of baptism right here and now. And there's more on the way. There's something very urgent about Mark. Wouldn't be good to preach baptism without preaching its context. And what do we see in Mark? They came out confessing their sins. What do you have to confess today? When the whitewashed tombs came out from Jerusalem, he said, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Have you come from the hinterlands of this place because you're holy, more religious than others? You know the truth. To the depths of your heart, the law damns each one of you to death. If your sins were known, if even one or two of your secret sins were known to this community, you would have to pull your coat over your head and walk out and never return. You're damned." That's why we need a Christ. That's why we need a baptism. That's why we need Jesus and the dove descending so wonderfully, not scaring us away. And there's another way you live in your baptism besides confessing your sins and clinging to Jesus: trials. Now, I know all of you are going to be wonderfully successful out in the parish. Well, at least I hope you aren't. Well, I hope you are. I hope the church is blessed by your ministry, and it will be. But in a way, I hope it doesn't come too easily. You know, the word here, just after this text, Jesus is baptized, and what happens? The Spirit casts him out of the wilderness, ekbale. And there's another word, that ekbale word is used in another place in the New Testament. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, send workers, ekbale. And in another context, I was reminded that, to me, it seems like going to a Cardinals game and pulling that ball back on those long elastic lines, and this is call night for you, ekbale. It's kind of a violent act. You're cast out. And nevertheless, you're baptized. And his baptism is yours. And he says, when he sees your life and your ministry, despite your many sins, "Behold, my beloved, well pleased." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Let us offer our petitions and intercessions on behalf of the church and the world, interceding in the name of Christ, the baptized child of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our minds, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that she may live in the reality of the baptism of Christ and rejoice in her baptism into him, and may proclaim his name to the world, let us pray to the Lord. For President Harrison, for all those who serve in concert with him in our synodical administration, for the service of our church, that God may bless its work, that the gospel may go forth, and that the needs of the peoples of the world may be served through the witness of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Let us pray to the Lord. For John Sutherland, uncle of seminarian Andrew Bartholomew's wife Jennifer, who has been admitted to the hospital because of liver failure, that God may heal and strengthen his body, restoring him to health and life. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who by the gift of time or resources have benefited this seminary, whom we remember in humble gratitude, especially congregations that support the work of Concordia Seminary, St. John Lutheran Church in Luverne, Minnesota, South Shore Trinity Lutheran Church in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, Trinity Lutheran Church in Redding, California. For those who are sick or undergoing surgery who support this seminary, Donna, Susan, Karen, Marion, Bill, Irene, Norman, Corin, Alfred, Ross, George, Edna and Edwin, Carl, Alan. For those facing concerns of employment or finances, Edward, Robert, and Thomas. For Maynard, on behalf of our Savior Lutheran Church, that God may sustain it. And for those who mourn, Bobby at the death of her husband, Walter at the death of his wife. That God's blessing may rest upon them, and the seminary community may show forth its thankfulness